This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Oh God, you search us and you know us. May we know that you long to be with us. May we hear your voice. May we see you. Amen. Please be seated. I have a friend who is the priest in charge at Trinity Boston. It is right near the site where the bombings happened. And because it's so close to the site, they are not allowed to go in their building yet. They aren't able to worship this morning in that space. And so, the beautiful thing that has happened is that the local synagogue, Temple Israel, offered to have them worship in their space. And so they're going to be worshiping in the synagogue. When things happen that are horrific, that touch us at a human level, the walls come tumbling down. Religious divisions don't seem so important. We want to touch base, right? It's a beautiful, beautiful way of reaching across town in friendship. After 9/11, my daughter, Katie, was in Boston in college, just outside Boston. And because one of the planes had originated from Boston that hit the Twin Towers, she called me and she said, "You know, I just want to come home. I think maybe I should take a semester off." Well, we talked every day that week, and she didn't end up coming home. But the same thing. She just wanted to touch base. She wanted to know that she wasn't alone. And that's what we all long for, even when things aren't going bad. We always want to know that we belong, that we're not alone, and that we have comfort when we need it. Today's gospel is welcoming us into the arms of a loving God. But at first glance, it can sound like Christianity is this club where if you don't know the secret handshake, you can't get in. Sounds like that, but nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing, no one is excluded from the love of God. And if we don't explore confusing verses, then we go on thinking that that's exactly what they mean. So I'd like to take a step back just for a moment to just review kind of what the basics are. In today's story, Jesus is speaking to a small community of intimates. The Gospel of John is of all spoken to this community of his devoted followers and friends. It was called the Johannine community. They had heard him speak. They had heard him teach. They had seen him do miracles and healings. And by his actions, he had shown them that he was the Messiah, the Anointed One. I'm going to explain a little bit about that in a minute. But they came to him this day, this winter's day, when he's just walking in this porch, and they said, "So come on, just tell us flat out, are you the guy? Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Just tell us." Jesus says, "I've been telling you. Didn't I tell you when I was healing these people? Didn't I tell you when I was doing these miracles?" He even explained it to the woman at the well, in exact words, that he was the Messiah. He wanted them to see that. He wanted them to hear that. He says, "You don't believe because you're not of my flock. You're not my sheep." And what he's saying is that his sheep hear him, recognize him in every moment. They can see him and look for him and know his voice because they've spent time with him. Time with him. He wasn't talking about this exclusive little club. So it doesn't sound like anything Jesus would ever say. Just a few verses before that, In verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. We use that verse at funerals. You've probably heard it yourself at funerals. To reassure people that they're not forgotten, that they're not alone. I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and they will come too. So there's beauty and truth and love if we'll listen and explore. It's important, though, to know that about John's gospel being to that small little intimate community. And it's also important to know that this gospel that we heard from today is very different than the other ones. There's four gospels, as you probably know. The first three talk about stories, eyewitness stories that they wrote down. Now, if you're on a street corner and I see an accident and you're on that corner and I'm on this corner, somebody's on that corner and that corner, we're all going to give you an eyewitness account. It's going to vary, right? It's not going to be the exact eyewitness account. But they were eyewitness accounts, those first three. John is also telling the story of the life of Jesus, but he interprets the mystery of Christ for us. And he gets real cosmic. It's my favorite gospel, I have to say. That tells you something about me being a little out there. But John is thought of that way sometimes. He's also thought of as the love gospel. So to think that there's lines that exclude people is far from the way and the nature of Christ. He reminds us of the divine Jesus Christ as well as the human, and that Christ has always been with us. So as Christians, we believe Jesus Christ was God with skin on, able to speak real words, eat real food, smell, taste, touch as a human being, and yet divine. Jesus was his name. Now note that Christ is not his last name. It's not his last name. They didn't have last names like we have last names. There were names for the towns of origin or their parents or what they did for a living. So he would be Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus of Mary, Mary's son, or the son of Joseph, or Jesus the carpenter, or Jesus the carpenter's son. That's how people were identified. Jesus Christ is the name given to Jesus of Nazareth, which is where he grew up, because he was the one they'd been waiting for. He was God with skin on, finally come to earth. The Israeli people had been talking about it for centuries. When is he going to come? When is he going to come? And waiting. And they still are waiting. They believe in Jesus, they just don't believe that he was the Messiah. And so this Jesus Christ means, anointed one, or the Holy One, God incarnate, In this gospel, Jesus also uses these symbols, everyday symbols. So he would say, to describe himself, he would say, I am the bread of life. So bread was a common symbol, right? If you're going to live like me, then you consume everything about me so that it gets in every cell of your being. Consume me like bread. He also used water. I'm living water. Your thirst for spiritual life is quenched in me. I am living water, He also used light. I am the light of the world. I shine in the dark places. I am light. He says, I am the door. Come this way. And I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. Come this way. Try this out. And lastly, as he uses in this particular gospel reading from today, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I will lead you. I can lead you to that light, to that bread, to that water, to that truth. I can lead you. So we're all sheep. The difference is that when we don't recognize that love and the way of love, or maybe we've never been taught that way, we stray and we get lost. And there's a lot of lost people. I have to tell you, though, this religious, the religious barriers that come up, Sometimes, like that rabbi that extended his hand to my friend Sam, was very Christ-like. Right? He was very Christ-like. He wasn't Christian, but he was Christ-like. And so in this gospel, you're going to hear all these symbols and these beautiful symbols. And so in following Christ as the good shepherd, we're not alone either. I have a tiny little snippet of a story when I was in seminary, and I used to be really troubled about all this, you know, these different religions, and how is it that this was always seen as the secret club and all of that. And so I went to this very learned, pretty traditional, elderly, brilliant teacher, and I said to her, what about all the people that aren't Christian? What about the people that don't believe? What about the people that aren't sure? What about them? And she said, oh, and she gets this little glint in her eye. Oh, well, just because they don't know Jesus Christ doesn't mean Jesus Christ doesn't know them. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. We get so locked into our status and the way we think things should be, and aren't we better than everybody else, that we forget the truth. And the bread and the water and the life and the light. Jesus is saying, follow me. Hear my voice. Be part of my fold. And the other sheep will come too. May take a long, long time. May take forever. But the other sheep will come too. The other sheep will come. When we're in that flock and we realize that, we aren't alone. We're not alone. We can reach out to one another when we need to reach out to one another. And that takes us having the effort to build relationships, to speak the truth in love to one another, to try to get past the symbols that we all think are the most important, that Madison Avenue tries to sell us, that everywhere we turn we're bombarded with, how to dress and how to eat and how to speak and how to look and where to go and what to drive. And we can get past that and know that we're part of that flock, all of that falls away too. All of that falls away too. We can know in all humility to be dependent on God, and that's a really good thing to know in our prayers and in our lives, and building relationships and taking time with God is how then we become more and more aware and get into the habit of knowing how deeply we are loved and not alone. So then naturally the discussion is, okay, so if your good shepherd is so great and all this stuff is so wonderful, then where was your good shepherd in the bombings in Boston? Where was your good shepherd in Newtown? Why wasn't he leading those bombers somewhere else? Well, I mean, we can go on and on with that why question that has been asked from the beginning of time. Why do bad things happen to good people? Believe me, I have hit my head against the wall many, many times in personal tragedies that have happened to me, and I can tell you there's no answer to that. At least if you know the answer to that, please tell me. There's a whole division in theology called theodicy, that studies exactly that. Why does God allow evil in the world? What we are called to be and do as followers of this good shepherd is to know that we're not alone. And where is God in that bombing? He's walking right with us. He's got his arms around and comforting those family members and comforting us. Leaning not on our own understanding, as it says in the Proverbs, is a great comfort once we can get there. Not having to know everything and mourning and grieving and crying and knowing that we have this shepherd that's walking with us in the awful things of life and in the amazingly wonderful things of life. The amazingly wonderful things of life. And we're strengthened. And when we come here, which is another way that we practice this realization of not being alone and recognizing Christ, come here and get fed and realize there's way more to life, and take of it, and then go out and change the world, and change habits, and change patterns. And we do that slowly and slowly. And we do affect the world, and it is possible to change. We hold one another up and comfort along the way. We're invited to walk through that door, to drink that water, to eat that bread, to walk in the light and the truth, and the realization will come. The 23rd Psalm was probably one that Jesus of Nazareth recited when he felt fear. Lots of times we think of the 23rd Psalm as talking about Jesus, and it is, but it was written way, way before Jesus walked the earth. Jesus of Nazareth walked the earth. But the Christ part always existed. So when we now read the 23rd Psalm, we can know that Jesus probably read it also. And so in closing, I'd like for us all to read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me, and you have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.